Yeah. N64, like the episode that we are recording right now, is the 64th one in the series.
Oh, wow. What a transition.
And I'm your host, Andy. And now that I finished grad school, I won't ever have to RISTIC study that much ever again.
Very nice. Very nice. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And did you know that there is a rumor of a cowboy world in the works for 2022 featuring a conflict between Sheriff Howe and Outlaw D? And these cards are speculated to be partners with each other. It's the first instance of a Howdy partner deck.
Please listen carefully.
Painful.
Yes. Yes, it is.
There is going to be, eventually, Angrath is from like a cowboy plane. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe he will get your Howdy partner deck when that comes.
Non-silver border, too. It's going to be all legit.
All legit. So, this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
And before we start, we want to thank our patrons. We appreciate all of your support. And if you want to support, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod.
And if you're looking for another way to support the podcast, if you're looking to buy any Magic singles or sealed product, we do recommend that you buy them from your LGS. But if they are not available and you're looking to buy some from TCG Player, we do have a TCG Player affiliate link located in the show notes below. Also, if you could subscribe, leave a rating, leave a comment, a review on whatever you are listening to the podcast on, we'd really appreciate your feedback in order to make the podcast better for you.
For you. So I have more time to go back and I can listen to some of our old shows now that I'm done with school.
Yeah.
It's official.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My exam score came back and I turned into paper. So next week, Wednesday, I'll have the official grade, but I think I have to get, if I did my math right, I have to get like a 30 on the paper. Oh, yeah. And I definitely got more than a 30 on my paper.
Definitely. 31 minimum.
I met the requirements. It was like, do your analysis, do this. You have to have this many resources. I even did one more scholarly resource than they require. Wow. And you just got to.
I hope they don't ding you for doing extra.
Here's the worst part. So as an undergrad for communication and getting my master's in marketing and my last class ever being in a statistics class for the business school, me sitting there going, well, what's the page limit? What's the page limit? I've always been given page limits, minimum 18, minimum 16. So I actually asked the professor, I said, do you have, if you do this paper correctly, how long would you say it normally takes you to put the paper together on average? And what is the average length you see? Mm-hmm. And he goes, we don't give answers to those questions.
What?
And he goes, on average, it should take you minimum 10 hours to put this paper together. And as long as you hit all the points, it'll be long enough. Yep. I was like, that isn't the most unanswered answer you've ever given. I was not happy. But it ended up being 8.5 pages of the regular paper, but then it was like 18 pages when I have my references and all the extra stuff. Right. So I was like, I really hope 18's enough.
Yeah.
But it's an intro course.
Okay.
I just took it at the end. So you're supposed to take like intro to comm and then intro to this like stats. And then you take all your major classes. I said, no, I'm going to take this class last and buffer with a really high GPA. And then I just have to pass the class.
You're good to go.
Yeah. So I got the paper done. Next week, I find out.
And when you explained that to me before, that paper, I'm like, it's like every single paper I've ever done in engineering school.
Yeah, because you went to engineering school.
It was just like, yeah, just give me the answer. And to me, it was, yep, okay, no problem.
I love really pretty writing. You use the thesaurus a lot.
Technical writing. Don't read it.
Well, I had to this semester.
Ouch.
And the formulas were so long and the explanations were so long. Like, this is not what I... like.
Yeah, you forced them to write it so someone could pick it up and understand, even though they've never seen any of the formulas before. This is a plus sign.
Yes, they do. Speaking of cards, you didn't say cards. Speaking of something that you've never seen before and you're picking up for the first time, I got more Jumpstart.
Oh, me too.
So I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Yep. Our LGS got some Jumpstart and I had a box on hold there, and then Coyle was able to get some for me as well. So I played earlier. And I opened up, there's the witch from the witch deck.
Oh, witch deck.
Witch of the Moors, I think.
Yeah,
it's yeah, it's pretty cool. So I got one of those, but I'm looking forward to playing a lot more Jumpstart.
That one also comes with Bog Brew Witch and Festering Newt and the Bubbling and Cauldron.
Yep. I did open Discarding, but it was not Tiny Bones. It was Liliana's Reaver. And I was like, shoot.
This will be my first time playing in paper, so I'm excited. I played on Arena a few times.
Yeah, yeah. Playing on Arena was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm, so I'm hoping to get... I would like to get a Bruvac because I would like to make a mill deck. I don't own them. I don't have a mill deck. And I think if I'm going to make one, I might as well make it with Bruvac. It seems really fun. So, and I opened a meal last time, which was cool. So, but I have the Cubamajigs repacks. So can repack them and play them over and over and over. So we're just sealing all of them up, including like the face card that tells you what the actual set of cards is.
Mm-hmm.
So that I would like to do like a... like a draft night almost, where you just pick two and you play and then you record your score. And then either you can like keep the two that you have, or if you want to switch one or change, but we'll have a bunch. So I think that'd be fun just to hang out and play with
for sure.
Limited cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do we have on the agenda today?
Well, we have quite a bit to talk about. So, Zendikar Rising previews, started. So we'll touch on that just a tiny bit. Wizards of the Coast released the schedule for sets and when they're going to release next year. There was a few cool things that went up for sale over the past week that we're going to talk about a little, including a new secret lair. And then for our main topic today, we are going to talk about the second time we're returning to the subject of house rules.
House rules. So, Zendikar Rising previews started yesterday. So if you're looking for the scheduled previews, it was posted on our Twitter account, but it's also going to be in the show notes below. We're not going to go into previews this week, but all the cards will be previewed before we record next week. So we're going to have a lot to talk about, obviously, next week. And the timing didn't really work out, so we didn't get to do a speculation episode of talking about what we were expecting. So that was a bummer. But we did get to see a couple of things that came out yesterday during the Zendikar Adventuring Party announcement, and we got to find out about the lineup of the 2021 release schedule.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of planes that we're visiting, a couple of new sets, starting in quarter one with Kaldheim.
Yeah, so we're getting like their Viking set.
Our Viking set, yes. So interesting enough, it was the first time we saw this plane even mentioned was from Plane Chase.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a specific location of Skybreen. So we will see likely some snow stuff again.
Most likely, unless it all melted.
Ooh.
But
global warming on Kaldheim?
I just see the colors of Kaldheim being a white that transitions to blue and be like, okay, nothing melted. No,
it's snow.
Good. Yeah, it's still snowing.
It's still it's still really snowy. And then after that, we have Strixhaven, School of Mages. And the core set wise, we have some supplemental sets. So it said that this is a plane or a set that consists of five colleges of magic that are battling it out with their own takes on magic.
Right. Not four houses of magic, but five colleges of magic.
I'm Hufflepuff.
That's what you were laughing about before.
I was. As we were prepping for the show, I just started laughing because I knew I was going to say, I'm a Hufflepuff.
Mm-hmm.
One time I opened a job.
I opened a job all by myself.
I cut my hand up real bad.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
I'm afraid of ghosts and sheets with holes in them and regular sheets.
So a lot of people are making reference to Harry Potter with Strixhaven School of Mages. It'll probably be super fun.
Yeah. Can't wait for the Baleful Strix to be my familiar as I cast some spells.
Are we going to have like, now I just picture like teachers. Are we going to have like the Trench Bowl?
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, you just add like the grumpy teacher.
Yeah. Boros. Trunchbull's Boros.
Trunchbull's Boros?
Yeah. It's all about the law and laying it down.
That's, wouldn't that be interesting if they made her, what if she's three color?
Yeah. Mardu.
Mardu.
For the evilness.
Yeah. After that, we're heading to a set that is a crossover with Dungeons and Dragons called Adventures in the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, it's going to be so sweet.
And this is going to be in place of core sets. So we you know, can only assume that you're going to have a similar power level, but lots of fun things that we're going to see from D&D.
Yeah.
Lots of people discussing online what they're hoping to see.
Yeah, if you like Dungeons and Dragons, I got a feeling that we're going to see a beholder in here. Maybe Drizzt. Drizzt being printed in this would be kind of a big deal. And if you don't know who Drizzt is, he's a night elf or a drow, if you will. But he's a good guy drow. Most drow are bad guys. It's a good guy drow.
I don't know who that is.
He's the main character. I'm new to D&D.
Listen, I'm new to D&D. Yeah, so yeah. This is not my area of expertise, but we have seen cards like Bag of Holding, mm-hmm. which was I think that's actually still in standard. And then we have Sword of Dungeons and Dragons that came out with the unsets.
For sure.
So
and maybe a new mechanic in this new Zendikar set about adventuring with a party.
Stay tuned for next week. And then we are going back to a beloved plane for the third time. So I hope everybody says return to Innistrad.
Return to Innistrad.
Because they said return, and it became that overused joke Ravnica. We're gonna same number of times for Innistrad.
Yeah, we're going to do it again.
But this time there are two full-size sets, one called Innistrad Werewolves and one called Innistrad Vampires.
Yeah. It should be pretty cool.
Couldn't fit it all into one set, so they're making two full-size sets. So I hope this is the set that gives us one or even two really usable werewolf commanders that people asked for.
Right. And then the other set will give us 12 more legendary vampires to use as vampire commanders so that no one will know who the best one is still and just confuse everybody.
What if they give us... Ooh, what if they put Edgar Markov into a non-commander card without...
See, that's the thing. I don't know the lore enough to know if like Edgar Markov is dead or something.
He's a vampire.
Yeah, vampires can die. Wooden stakes, garlic.
Garlic.
Regular, just kind of kill them sometimes.
Just a little spoonful of garlic.
Maybe you want to trap them in a giant stone.
They can't have spaghetti, okay?
Not good spaghetti.
Because good spaghetti has real garlic in it.
Exactly.
I mean, like huge chunks of garlic.
I understand where you're coming from. I just disagree.
So when you cook with garlic, you have to use like triple the amount of garlic they ask for.
Just
that's
so you know,
how you do it.
If you don't like the texture of garlic, garlic powder tastes exactly the
Does
same.
Does garlic have a bad texture? Actually, this is a real question. I actually don't.
In my opinion, yes.
But what texture? If you could describe the texture, I'm curious because I don't think it does. I think it just is. It's gone. But like Jell-O has an offensive texture.
I understand.
What is
that you think that.
The texture of garlic?
It's like a half cooked apple.
So like a twice baked apple?
I don't know if I've ever actually
had that.
Well,
if it's twice baked, that's probably fully cooked. It's like
there's still some crisp to the garlic in the center, but it's mushy on the outside.
Okay. I guess I enjoy that texture.
I also don't like nuts and things, so I know I'm weird about textures.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Like if you have a salad, you don't want like almonds in it.
No, like even like a brownie, I don't want a nut in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't like the mixture of the textures.
It's usually a flavor thing. And then we have some supplemental sets coming.
Yes, we do. In the first supplemental set coming between the first and second quarter, we have something that I've asked for, and I'm not sure other people have, but I'm glad they gave it to me. It's Time Spiral Remaster.
I'm actually looking forward to drafting this. So they took the entire block, and they, just like they did with Amonkhet Remastered, and they're taking what they believe to be what will make a great draft format.
And they're going to have old borders on stuff.
They are. One in every pack, just like the time-shifted cards in Time Spiral, you're going to have that in this.
If I pull a Chalice of the Void in Old Border, I'm going to have to build a deck that uses it, I guess.
Modern plays Chalice?
I don't want to play it in Modern. I don't like telling my opponent no in Modern. I like telling my opponent your life total zero.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
And then we have Modern Horizons 2 coming out.
Yes,
really great news surrounding it.
Enemy Fetchlands
being printed into the set, into the actual boosters, not into collector's boosters.
And I don't know if it was official. I don't know if it was official, but I heard rumor that it was going to be at Rare as well.
I heard at Rare. Did not go and confirm that.
Didn't
we got a long time to
to figure that
out. To figure it out what, you know, yeah, what the plan is.
It's like October, November of next year. We're not even there this year.
We're not even, it might be right about now. Yeah, this time next year. So, but there were also folks that asked about Commander. It's not on this list. Commander's happening next year. They did say, you know, there's, you know, they don't have things on here like Spellbook or, you know, any other Secret Lair is not listed on here either. That's but true. We know there's things that are coming out.
Mm-hmm. So some products that Wizards of the Coast has put up for sale, some really special stuff that has been buzzing around the internet, happened this week.
It happened, yeah, yesterday. So we're just going to chat about it because it was like a spur of the moment. Get it literally right now. Otherwise, you won't get it unless you buy it on eBay.
That's right.
For $1,500.
Yeah, because on the store, on the Hasbro store or the Pulse store, for $100, you could get a pair of K-Swiss Jace Bellerin shoes.
That glow in the dark.
They do. The insignias on them glow in the dark. They look pretty cool. Not my style, personally.
No, I used to have K-Swiss when I was in high school. Hmm. I definitely wore K-Swiss shoes. On the insole, yes. Jace is looking at you with really creepy eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, the product description was premium leather overlays, glow in the dark leather collar lining, glow in the dark printing designed by inspired by Jace's costume, gunmetal polished hardware. But they were on sale yesterday for $100 and they're sold out now. But they're on eBay if you would like, and they are going for, I don't know if there's any sales.
It was a sold listing of $1,500.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
There were some that were at like $700 and $500, but the biggest sold listing was $1,500.
Oh my gosh. Well, if you're in the market for K-Swiss Jace Bellerin shoes, go to eBay.
They look really good with the Jace Bellerin, pants and the Jace Bellerin hoodie.
Oh, I forgot those yoga pants came out. Oh my gosh. I'm sure there's a hat or something that you could find. There's got to be all the things. But can I interest you in a full-size lifed foam figure of Chandra?
For the podcast, I'm going to say yes.
For the podcast, you're going to say yes.
Real life, no thank you. Okay,
so if you've been looking for a life-sized foam figure of a character that you would like to take home, Chandra is being produced. That's a thing.
Yeah.
So
it's a thing.
It's
5'6" tall, you said?
5'6" tall, wearing her trademark goggles and holding a ball of flame. The Pyromancer is the perfect statue to bring some magic to your store or home. Hand painted and sculpted with incredible detail, we believe truly capture the spark of Chandra for display.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If you want that,
you can pre-order it for $1,200 through WizKids.
Yes.
Now, okay. So now this is Chandra, but if you could get. I saw Saffron Olive had posted, if you could get a life-size foam of any Magic character, anything that's been in, it doesn't have to be a Planeswalker, any character from Magic.
And it's life-size? The size it would be in real life? Nickel Boss.
He's not going to fit in your house. He's going to be in your front lawn.
He's going to be like...
You could dress him up. You could put like those, like the geese that people dress up in like raincoats.
He'll be bigger than my property, I sure hope. I want to turn him into a kite and ride him into nothingness.
Okay, what if it was actually realistic though?
If it was real, like it had to fit in the room.
You must bring it in your house.
Okay, so we can scale down a character if they're too big. Is that okay? Is it not okay?
Hypothetical. I did not think you were just going to make me do that.
I was going to say, I think it would be unique and interesting to have a statue of like Skitherix mounted on its rock.
You killed him.
I killed Skitherix?
Yeah.
I didn't kill Skitherix.
You didn't
kill Skitherix. No, I didn't kill Skitherix.
It sounded like you really wanted to have it like stuffed.
Well, yes.
I guess they're just producing a foam one. Okay, so.
The thing is, the Skitherix stomach is already blown like open. Like, so I think it would be cool to have a model of that and like in detail and stuff. It'd
be really great for like Halloween parties.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know what I'd want. So maybe someone was like, I get an Eldrazi and all the tentacles and stuff.
That would be pretty cool.
Get like a weird Eldrazi, or you could just get like, I don't know. I'd want something that's different than whatever. I'd want something. Is there a character? Oh, maybe I could do like Noyandar because he's got his hands up. You can use it like a coat rack.
Noyandar is rolling in his grave. Is Noyandar dead in the story?
No. Well, okay. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet, but the story's back. So I guess there's another item. The web fiction, not web comic. Mm-hmm. The web fiction is coming back. So no, maybe I get that. It's got to be functional, right? So you can put it right inside your door, greet people with some screaming merfolk
ally. You need a functional
hanger coat.
Noyandar foam. This is made of foam, mind you.
I assume. Oh, okay. It's foam. So you could make it heavier. You just solidify the base, maybe put like,
we're gonna, so this is for all of you manufacturing engineers out there, we're gonna take the foam and we're gonna use it for lost foam casting, and we're gonna create a cast of Noyandar. So you're spending $1,200 to get a cast of Noyandar. You can only do it once, because if you don't do it right the first time, it's ruined forever. And now you have a cast iron Noyandar. You can cook with that. It's cast iron. It makes really good macaroni and cheese.
Yep. So get your Chandra online from WizKids.
Or if you want to buy cards in special art form with some sweet flavor text and featuring one of the greatest legendary creatures ever printed in Magic.
Really is a really cool legendary creature.
Then maybe you're interested in Secret Lair Happy Yargle Day,
which is September 3rd.
Yes. So for our entire lives, we've celebrated Yargle Day every single September 3rd. This is well-known information taught over and over again in schools, but, you know, we wanted to remind you. And there is now going to be a Secret Lair Happy Yargle Day. So within Secret Lair Happy Yargle, you are going to find a Swords to Plowshare, an Opt, a Fatal Push, and an Anger of the Gods. Oh, and an Explore, all featuring our favorite mono black vanilla 9/3 legendary creature printed at uncommon from Dominaria, Yargle.
Yeah. This is a very fun one. However, they've just like put him almost into the artwork of most of these, but this is the first Fatal Push and not Fatal Kick.
That's
or
right.
Fatal Nudge we've ever seen. This one is actually a push with his little finger.
It's the only true Fatal Push. Someone tried to argue earlier in our Discord, says maybe he's got 4 feet and it's still a Fatal Kick. I'm like, I don't want to live in that reality. This is finally a push.
I like the Explorer. He's just like looking out into the out into the, like the mountains. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get another land.
And Opt, he's just like,
maybe I'm just standing in front of the statue here.
And all of them feature some really great flavor text. You know, if you love Yargle as much as I love Yargle, you might not buy it. But if you love Yargle more than I like Yargle, you're totally going to buy this.
So this is coming out tomorrow on September 3rd. You can get it in regular or foil, $29.99 or $39.99. a couple of the Yargle Day reminders, which was my favorite part of this whole post, is if you hear footsteps on your roof, remain calm. Calm. Yargle smells your fear. If it doesn't matter if you're naughty or nice, Yargle's gaping maw is large enough to accommodate both kinds of children at once.
That's very true.
Save your milk and cookies for December. Consider tying a goat on the fence of the outskirts of your property. Maybe he'll get full. Mm-hmm, final mm-hmm. rule, Yargle never gets full.
Yeah. He doesn't really have a stomach. It's kind of an infinite void.
An infinite void. So if you're looking for a new secret lair with This one's just kooky, but the cards themselves are very playable.
Yeah.
All of these are very playable. Anger of the Gods. I play swords all the time. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky we have an LGS that always picks up a bunch of these now. So you can just pick up the singles if you want them. And we also have another one that was announced, and we only saw one card from it, but they have a Walking Dead Secret Lair crossover.
Yeah, and the card that they announced was actually just a token.
It was a zombie token. Did you watch The Walking Dead?
I watched it for a very long time, and then I stopped after the Negan arc.
I was told that the token is one of the bicycle sisters, whatever that means.
I don't understand that reference.
Okay.
If you understand that reference, add us.
Yeah, it's a Bicycle Girls.
Bicycle Girls.
The only card they revealed today was the Bicycle Girls zombie token, and it features flavor text from Rick Grimes.
Mm-hmm. I recognize the flavor text, but not the Bicycle Girls.
Okay.
If you recognize the Bicycle Girls, tweet at us to tell us that you recognized the Bicycle Girls token.
All right, so we are talking again about house rules today.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about this a while ago, back in, I believe it was episode 35.
Mm-hmm.
And so we jumped back into the pool searching for more house rules to chat about. We found a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
So let's get to it. So the first one that I found was that there is a playgroup that has what they call the misplay or missed trigger counter.
Okay.
Like counts for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time you misplay or you miss a trigger, you add a counter to mm-hmm. that. And then you take one damage for each counter that's on the cumulative misplay, missed trigger counter.
Okay.
And so as I kept reading, it said that, you know, folks were arguing that it really kept people focused on the game and they weren't playing it on their phones. And I mean, we've seen that happen before. If someone's taking a really long turn and someone decides not to pay attention, like, well, either you pay attention or I guess you get knocked out because you have many misplays.
Yeah.
I don't know about this one. So,
If you really have trouble with getting people to focus on your game, maybe this is just the rule that you need. I recognize kind of what it's doing. It's the same thing that Aria of Flame does. An enchantment printed from Modern Horizons. Where every time someone casts a spell, you put a verse counter on it, and then someone takes damage equals the number of verse counters.
There's also a plane that's like this, and I believe it's at mm-hmm. the beginning of each person's upkeep. You add a counter to it, and then you take damage. So it like gives incentive for everybody to try to plane mm-hmm. or planeswalk to a new plane there. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't mind playing with those because it does speed the game up a little
for sure,
right? But if you're playing a new deck, I would not enjoy playing with this rule.
Well, that's
true. If you're
true.
Playing a deck for the first time, you're like, well, of course I'm going to misplay. And have you seen our stream? We do it all the time.
All the time.
We are pretty seasoned commander players. Mm-hmm.
I think it is kind of funny just thinking about it. If you played like a really, really good life gain deck, you could manipulate the misplays. Like, oops, played an extra land. Oops, played an extra land. And just do it like 80 times.
Oh, that's just cheating.
It's not cheating. You're still taking the damage.
Yeah. So if we were to say yes or no to this one, I'm going to say maybe.
I would say probably not. I think our play group pays attention enough. And we do take backs and stuff all the time.
I don't mind take packs.
You get to know the other card in the person's hand that they can't actually play that they tried to play.
You know, the number of threads and discussions that we read through mm-hmm. when we were finding all of these, there were a lot that were mostly just, well, we allow special mulligans.
Everyone it's like, does.
Well, yeah, everyone does that. Or we're going to ban one card. Oh, okay, so it sounds like you just have one card being an issue. You can sure. either politely ask for it to not be played anymore mm-hmm. or play the card that negates it.
Right.
I mean, and I don't mean actually negate, but if it's a spell, just play negate.
Yeah, as long as it's non-creature.
You got negate.
That's right. And yeah, and you know, we didn't preface it with this time, but we preface it every single time we talk about rulings and everything. I mean, there's always rule zero in Commander, which is there is no rules.
So right.
You make up your own rules. If you need to get to the point where you're banning a card, then yeah, I guess you got to that point in your play group.
yeah, interesting.
I'm always playing with Cabal Coffers. I don't care what any of you say, just FYI.
And I don't run Land Destruction, and that's the only card that I truly would like to have a little bit for, even mm-hmm. a Ghost Quarter. Ghost Quarter's fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have one naughty land that needs to go.
You got to do it.
Keep them in check.
That's right. Play Decimate, people. Play Decimate.
I did that on stream once.
I know. All right. And so onto the second house rule. This is actually one that when I was looking for house rules, like Andy said, all we could find was some mulligan stuff for a little while, and I was kind of getting desperate. So I actually made up this own house rule myself. So this is a once per night house rule. So this would be an overarching house rule for an entire night of Commander where you're going to play like four or five games. And this is a special companion that's always in your companion zone that you can pay 3 mana and put it in your hand. And when it's in your hand, you can pay 3 mana and discard it into exile and draw 2 cards. And that's all it does. And it really helps because if you play 5 games, there's going to be 1 game where you get screwed out of the game. Either you're getting mana screwed and hopefully you have 3 mana and then 3 mana again. But maybe you're getting mana screwed. Maybe you're getting card draw screwed. Something is happening in one of those 4 games where you're not playing optimal. And that's the 1 game that you can use your...
So
nightly
you're just
companion.
Having pay 6 to draw 2?
Yes, but you still have to put it in your hand, and you have to do it at sorcery speed. And then you still have to activate
it. It's a spell?
Sure. Except it doesn't count as casting.
So you can't counter it?
Nope.
I don't like this.
It's just for, it's just to draw two more cards. Just hey, you need two cards. Go ahead, draw two cards.
Okay, interesting, interesting.
And then maybe this is a companion that you don't hate. We can use Lutri.
Just add Lutri back as a house rule. Let me play my tiny baby otter.
I honestly thought about doing Lutri as commander is legal as a house rule.
It's fine.
I would build it.
I'd build it. It's fine. I think
it's really strong, personally, but
sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
I would try not to build it 100%. I'd build it 100% once.
100% is objective.
True. I would build it as competitively as possible for one game.
For one game.
Mm-hmm.
We should do that on stream one night.
That'd be fun.
Play whatever you want.
Play banned cards.
We had a card that was Silver Border on stream last week, so you were out of town, mm-hmm. and we may have had a squirrely game.
Ooh.
Stay tuned.
Sounds like
it went nuts. By stay tuned, I mean tune in.
That's right.
Because it's going to come out this Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, so Mr. Bevers played a patron-submitted deck, a Maldrotha deck that included the Earl of Squirrel, and it was very fun.
Squirrel Earl.
So the next one we have, the next house rule, is a booster pack in the command zone. So you decide when to open the pack at any point in the game, and during that turn, you can cast a card from the pack you opened. It reminds me of Oathbreaker having a special spell, but instead of it being usable multiple times, it's like, pick a pack you like from whenever you want, mm-hmm. and you can open it, but you still have to pay the mana that turn. Right. So if you're playing like a blue-white deck and you open a really great card, but it's in a different color, you can cast a blue or a white card from the pack, and that's what you can cast for the turn. Actually, that seems really fun.
Yeah. Well, and isn't there an uncard that kind of does that too?
There is. I think is it called Booster Tutor?
That sounds exactly right. And what I Googled was not going to come up with that card.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like Booster Tutor. Yeah. So you open a sealed magic pack, reveal the cards, put one into your hand, remove that card from your deck before beginning a new game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like having Booster Tutor, but you just decide that you're going to do it once. Like it's just sitting in the command zone. All right, I need an answer. And I brought a set that has a decent amount of limited removal or something.
Sure.
So like, I'm going to open this and hope for a Doomblade. Or maybe I decide I open it because I have no cards in hand. And you only get to play one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you just decide to play one of them.
And you have to play it right then and there?
Yeah, that turn.
It doesn't get... Okay, so Booster Tutor gets put in your hand. This one, you have to play it.
You just pick one. Mm-hmm. You play it this turn. Mm-hmm. So you probably want to wait till later in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to do very well if you try to open like a Doubles Masters pack on turn one and like, I might get that Reese.
I'm going to play this Tron land, I guess.
Yeah, so Booster Pack in the Command Zone was a house rule that we found. It really does seem very much like Booster Tutor. I didn't even put that together until you said it.
No, it came to mind, and I think that's perfectly acceptable as long as everyone's okay with using like the same level of booster or something. You don't want someone showing up with Modern Masters, and well, maybe it doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters.
Modern Masters, I guess, any of the master sets, the removal at common and uncommon is usually really, really good, though.
But is that what you want to open, or do you want to open the good thing that people need to try to remove? I want to listen to
Jace the Mind Sculptor or a Mana Crypt. Yeah.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, even if I don't need it in the game.
That's fine, but I guess it's up to, you know, so yeah. You could spend $4 or
true.
You know, $30 on mm-hmm. a master's pack.
It's very true.
It's up to you.
All right.
I'm going to grab probably a standard deck pack.
Standard set pack. It has good synergy with your deck.
You know, it's Akori is probably a very good one because if nothing, you can cycle it away in every color.
That's very true. That's very, very true. That's a good point. Good point. So the next house rule that we found is one that actually people have talked about a lot and maybe people will be talking about again. And that's partner tax. So we know a lot of people are concerned with partner and how strong partner is. And with 41 new partner cards being printed in Commander Legends, people are kind of freaking out. So one house rule is partner tax. And all partner tax says is that both partners that you have in the command zone have the same tax. So if I'm playing Thrasios and Timna and I cast Thrasios, Timna now costs two extra because I already cast a commander. So you just basically replace your commander with a commander when it comes to the commander tax role. Every time you cast a commander from your command zone, the next time you cast a commander from your command zone, you have to pay two more generic mana.
This one is all over already.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we heard about Partner, the Twitter actually almost shut down, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think it almost shut down. People were so upset.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, but I think the only commander that has caused that problem is like Thrasios and Timna.
Yeah.
But I would say 99% of us don't play against that deck.
It's true.
Unless you're prepared for it.
Right.
Then you say, we're going to play really, 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 really high powered game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not a big deal because
right.
that's how the rule works.
And there's some people that I know, like Curiosity Control with Vile Smasher is a deck that people like playing too. And they're excited that they don't have to play just a random two colors to add, and they can only play one color in some of the new partners to add color. And so this effect doesn't really hurt the people that only cast one companion, one partner from their command zone anyways, and just use the other partner for the colors. So it shouldn't hurt the people that it's not like directed towards, I guess. It's only cooling some things down that some people think is just too competitive.
Yeah, I personally, I love partners. If this was someone's house rule and I was at their house, even playing one of my commander decks, so I play Zindersplit and Oaken.
Mm-hmm.
I have Nakara and Yannick.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two partner decks, and we have some friends that play Pier and Toothy.
Mm-hmm.
Friends that play it's the Abzan one.
Yeah,
Ravos and Rayhan. But I don't think if this was a rule, I don't even know if I'd be upset. Even if someone said we'd really like it to share with Nakara and Yannick. Okay.
Sure.
So one costs five, the other costs six when I go to play it. I don't even think I'd be upset because by the time you're playing both of those, if you're playing a fair deck, you're doing okay anyway.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, so I don't even know if this one bothers me. I was actually trying to find it, but I know that someone had actually said something about can someone explain to me the benefits, I guess, of partners. You know, I don't understand what everybody's so upset about.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spike Feeders had tweeted and they were like, it gives you more colors to focus on and play the most powerful spells with some commanders that have some really great abilities. And I really wish I could find the tweet because they put it really well and a bunch of people responding and they were like, this is exactly what I was trying to put on paper.
Right.
But I couldn't think of how to say it. But it's exactly that, right? So a lot of the ones that we've seen before were very much good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Commanders, right? You're like, okay, so if I just make infinite mana, Thrasios is great. And if I just need a little bit more card draw, well, Timna is going to, get me there with whatever. But I've personally never experienced a bad game against partners ever.
No, I can't think of one that I had either, but I never had to play against. I know maybe people have nightmares about Flash Hulk and stuff and having to go up against it, and they just associate it with it and they just instantly go, I hate this.
And that absolutely could be. I mean, for the longest time, you had played Sidisi, the mono black Sidisi.
Mm-hmm.
Undead Vizier.
Mm-hmm.
And we just knew that as soon as you cast Sidisi, it was going to be a Cabal Coffers, and then it was likely going to be like a Torment of Hellfire or an Exsanguinate.
Yep.
But we knew it was coming, so either you would hold up a counter spell, or you would counter the Sidisi, or you would Bajuka Bog or something to mm-hmm. try and get, but we knew that was coming.
Yep.
But that was also not the most busted deck, but we did say, can you change up the win con? You're like,
yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Turns out changing up that commander changes the deck a lot too.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really changes the deck, and then you just change it to something else.
Yeah.
But it's nice because those decks all share similar cards.
Yeah.
So it didn't hurt too much.
That's very true.
The next house rule is all commander damage is counted cumulatively.
Cumulatively.
Oh my gosh, I don't know why I couldn't.
No, you said it right the second time.
Okay. On a player, but is treated similarly to infect. So when you take damage from someone's commander, you don't actually lose life, you just take commander damage counters.
Mm.
And once you have 21 commander damage counters, then you lose. So if you're playing against three people and they decide to all swing at you with their commanders, you take commander damage counters, but your life doesn't go down. This one, I don't even know if I mind. I don't know what it would look like, but it would certainly make playing a deck that has like a Voltron deck less painful.
Mm-hmm.
If your opponents can also deal random damage, like I have to swing and I've got a commander with 3 power, I'm just going to hit you with it because it still is commander damage.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely see commander people die to commander damage. I see them dying at the same time as when they would get the commander damage.
Right. And that's most of the case. The only caveat I have with this is the fact that they did say commander damage counters. And I think it could get out of hand with like proliferate and like doubling counters on people and stuff. I think
that's possible. I didn't think about that.
I think Atraxa would be really, 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 really good in this meta with the 21 commander damage, because swing at you for 4 and it becomes 5 at the end of the turn.
I guess that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I mean, and obviously not everyone has thought about everything. There's probably stuff that we haven't thought about too. So this is just stuff off the top of the head, really.
Yeah. So, this might've been created by a group of people that really like winning with commander damage.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, I can't do it alone. So maybe if you help me swing twice, mm-hmm. we can take this person out or something. I don't know.
Right. And honestly, it is, I think, satisfying to kill someone with commander damage.
And them not actually go to 0 at the same time.
Exactly.
You're like, that's actually 21. You're still at 19.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, to be honest.
It is satisfying.
the only Voltron deck that I have is Lizav the Multifarious, but he does it mostly through
Infect,
but you can make it commander damage if you've lost the Vector Asp. So,
well, I guess in my version, I had Crackdown Construct and Ornithopter, so that you could get there with commander damage.
It does the exact same thing though, right? So if I'm getting there with Infect, I'm taking them out with Infect, but yours mm-hmm. could just kill them with regular damage activating it a million times.
You really got to drive it home, though. I mean, Lizav, he's got to just stab him in the back. Just stab
him. Coil's making stabbing motions on behalf of Lizav. That's how the Dimir would get you, though.
Right in the back with a book. Because they're librarians.
It was Lizav with a candlestick in the back alley of Tin Street.
Uh oh.
Did I just spoil the Ravnica campaign?
Oh no.
I know what your entire campaign is now.
No, it's specifically not going to be that because it's too predictable if I pick Lizav as the ultimate bad guy.
Segue, we're doing a Ravnica campaign that Coil's running, and I am going to be a Rakdos juggler, and he said that my dexterity needs to be decently high because otherwise I wouldn't juggle very well.
It's very true.
So I'm being pigeonholed into 12 or higher dexterity.
12 or higher dexterity. That's a +1 in dex, I think. That's very fair. I sure hope your charisma modifier is also high.
The real question is, what am I juggling?
That's a good question. No, that is a good. What are you juggling?
Things that are very sharp. I don't know.
Oh,
I hope so.
I thought maybe it was going to be like body parts or something. It's Rakdos. It could be anything.
It could be anything.
Severed heads.
Nah, it's not going to be that though. Nasty. My character is going to be just fun. We're going to like broken beer bottles. Or something.
Oh, that would be fun.
It would be interesting. Like, or you have 3 different weapons. Who knows? Who knows?
All right. So our next rule we're going to talk about is actually house rule. Is actually a webcam house rule. So over quarantine, we've made a lot of friends in a lot of different parts of the world. And after quarantine, we would still like to continue this friendship with these other people in different parts of the world by continuing to play Webcam Commander. So we thought Webcam Commander should probably have some of its own house rules too. So cards that cause you to search people's hands and libraries lose that effect completely and instead gain cycling 1. So this is a way where you don't have to take your deck apart or change out 10 cards every time you want to play on webcam versus playing in person. It just becomes cycling 1. Like, oh, I can't really play this, guys. I'm just going to pay a man.
I actually really, really enjoy that.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good idea to cycle it for 1. We've had this happen, actually. Also, tune into the other video from this past week because Chris and I both played other people's cards.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, didn't realize Athreos, the new coin counter Athreos,
mm-hmm.
becomes really obnoxious when you have 3 other people's cards. Now, infinite tokens, amazing.
Yeah.
Really helps out. So you have to put cards off to the side, because they're not really in exile. They're actually in play. So you have to remember where they are. But there were, we've had games before where we have to text the person or send a message on Discord or send them a direct message on Twitter and say, here's the four cards that are in my hand. And then they pick one and you have to set that one card off.
Right.
It can be very and very time consuming. But the
for sure.
Searching players' libraries, no one has actually ever done that.
Right.
Because they've... Even you did it. I think when we were doing the Commander Reunion game, you're like, I'm not going to play this card that's in my deck.
I was playing my Mutate deck, and there's a Mutate, a black flying Mutate creature that's printed in the precon that says exile the top card of each player's library face down, and then you can cast them.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I don't care what they are. Just exile a card. I'm doing this to get a Mutate trigger.
Right. Yeah. Some of them are just too difficult to play. I play cards that care about rogues. In my Edric Spymaster of Trust, there's one where you can, I think it's knowledge exploitation, and you if you cast it for its prowl cost, meaning it's cheaper if you had already dealt damage to someone with a rogue, you can cast it and you search for somebody, you search their library for like an instant or a sorcery, and I think you also cast it for free. A minute since I've played it.
You cast it for free.
A card cannot be played on paper Commander unless you decide to say, Soul do Rain. You run this card?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, can you grab it? And now that's what I'm going to do. But
don't do it like 12 times. Cause there's a legendary blue merfolk that looks for artifacts in your opponent's deck. And then you get to cast them.
Oh,
so don't play that deck.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very difficult. I would not mind playing with this. They all gain cycling one if you're just trying to play with friends and you're like, this is, you know, in order to avoid making this game take forever.
Right.
Yeah. The next house rule, this was actually one that I did find online. I laughed after I heard this one because this would not work. I mean, I guess it would, but so it's a drinking commander game where you can take a shot for a colorless mana. You gain one colorless mana for the shot that you take. Someone is going to get sick.
Oh yeah.
Someone's going to get sick if they really, really want to win. And I don't find being that tipsy, I guess, conducive to playing the most difficult format to pay attention in Commander.
I mean, it just means that your misplay counters are going to go way up.
So we're going to institute all of these, and that person's going to open some booster pack, play some card that's ridiculous.
Aria of Misplays Drunk Edition.
Oh my gosh. So no, I this one is not going to go with that one. But if someone really wanted to do that, I'd say you can do it. I'm just not going to do it.
I have seen like lists of drinking rules and stuff. And obviously we don't advocate binge drinking.
No.
But if you saw that list of drinking rules and thought it would be fun to play with your friends. Again, we don't advocate binge drinking. But yeah.
Interesting. It's another layer to the game. If you're looking to hang out with friends,
if you want to make Magic more difficult,
if you would like to make this game difficult and make lots of mistakes, then implement rule number 7.
Yes. And then the last rule, a rule that we have suffered to before,
a rule that we should probably follow.
Yeah, we don't.
Don't.
It's what if fine, it's, though.
Yeah, no, we don't follow this one.
And this one is, no one may start a game after 11 p.m. Because there was the one time.
Just one time that I had no incom with Zedru. Okay, I get it. The game did go till about 4 a.m.
And our friend Ryan, we were introducing him to the format of Commander. He had played Magic a long time ago, and he got back into Magic. And it was his first time playing Commander. It was his first time meeting you, too.
Yep.
First time meeting
you. He's at my house.
And apparently we held him hostage. We told him he could leave. I had to drive him. I told him.
But none of us were conceding. None of us were conceding. Who won? It definitely wasn't me.
I think you got me with a Pendril Mists or something.
Oh, I got you with something that I decided to give away. And then
after not paying the cumulative upkeep cost.
And then you just die.
And then I died.
Illusions of Grandeur, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, because you gain 20 life when you cast it. And then you lose 20 life when you don't pay the cumulative upkeep cost. Yeah. That's what I died to, because I was playing my Mogus deck at the time. It was either if you didn't win and I didn't win, then it was either Nick or Ryan. I mean, probably Nick, I would assume.
He's probably playing some Bant deck at the time. Or nope, it was Blink. It was Brago. I bet.
It was Brago. Oh my gosh, my hate for Brago. I found the root. It's Nick.
It was only because we played a game for like seriously 5.5 hours
because
we couldn't follow that rule. Don't start a game after 11.
Yeah. So,
and none of us would concede. We had snacks still. I mean, there was plenty of stuff.
Oh yeah. I was full.
We had,
eating breakfast at that point.
We had veggie trays at 4 a.m.
Yep.
So these are the house rules that we found. I like the booster pack rule.
Mm-hmm.
Partner tax, that doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. So I'd be fine if someone did, or you know, take it or leave it. You know, I'm happy either way. Misplay triggers, that seems interesting.
I think there's a different way you can do it for the misplay triggers.
Yeah, I feel like it great
concept.
Great draft. Mm-hmm. You know, first outline.
Yeah.
You know, don't turn that in.
We're going to get back to it.
Yeah. We need an editor to take a peek.
We'll get draft
two. Brainstorm it.
We'll see how the story turns out. Get some main character development going on there.
Yeah. Commander damage cumulative. That seems interesting. Webcam commander, the cycling one. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Drinking commander. If that's for you, that's for you. Mm-hmm. And then starting a game after 11. Yeah, that one's fun. But we always start after 11 and then it's 2 a.m. and you've got people yawning going, I gotta go.
Oops.
I gotta go. Can someone take me out?
Oops, it's 2 a.m.
No scooping. So if you have any house rules that you play with, tweet at us with hashtag house rules. We want to hear what you do and don't play with. If you've played with any of these rules, let us know.
Yeah, how'd they go?
I don't know if anyone has. We really had to dig pretty deep into a lot of threads. We were on MTG's Elevation. We were on Reddit. We were on old forums.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these were really interesting. A lot, like we said, a lot of them were about mulligan rules. We just mulligan until you have a keepable 7.
Yep.
But there were some that were like, draw 10, shuffle 3 back in. Or if you draw 7 twice, then you have to draw 6. And I was like, what are these rules? Yeah. But it was, some of these threads were like 6 years ago,
right?
And I was like, oh, this thread's too old. I really can't use this thread.
And I'm personally curious if anyone has any special house rules about companion or any of the new mechanics that we've seen since last time we had this episode.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening. If you would like to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me on Twitter at AT Flory.
You can find me on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine.
And you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. Chat with you all next week.
That's next week, Zendikar Rising.
Next week, Zendikar Rising, we'll be talking all about the new hotness.
Yeah, 4-color Omnath.
We do have 4-color Omnath. We've got some wizards that care about wizards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, party.
A mono black demon cleric.
Mono black demon cleric. We've got dual face lands.
Oh yeah.
You know, we have so many cards that I already want to build. You know, I haven't built a deck in a minute. I built a budget deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to using some of these. There's some cards that I think might actually be able to be a replacement for some cards that I currently have in decks. So I'm gonna have to do like a full write up, and then maybe we'll talk about which commander we think is going to receive the most benefit.
And the artwork on one of the commander precons looks an awful lot like your first ever commander.
Anwan the Rune Sage?
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen this.
So Anwan might get either a reprint, or I hope it's not a reprint. I hope they don't print him as the Commander Precon Commander.
I would imagine that they don't.
That would not be intuitive to Fun for All.
No, interesting. So I did not know that the Zendikar Rising Commander Deck Precon
artwork
was out.
Mm-hmm, the box
was that today?
I don't remember when I saw it, if it was today or if it was yesterday, something like that.
Interesting. Well, I will have to check into that. And we'll be discussing it next week.
Hey, yo.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
The sunset was beautiful.
It was. I saw it.
I didn't get to see it.
But I'm sorry. Sorry you didn't get to see it.
It's a bit nice.